Welcome to Clear Text. It's Thursday, August 20th, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. Let's get into it.
So, Jordan, you've been staring at the AI ICS advisory all morning. Set the table for us.
Five agencies: NSA, CISA, FBI, DOE, EPA. A joint advisory warning that threat actors are using AI to generate exploit scripts targeting Siemens S7 PLCs, water systems, energy infrastructure, manufacturing. This is the thing we've been warning about in theory, and now five federal agencies are saying it's happening in practice. This may be the first documented case of AI-assisted exploit development being used in active ICS campaigns.
And for our audience, let's be precise about what this means operationally. PLCs are the small industrial computers that open valves, run pumps, control machinery. They are the physics layer. If you compromise a PLC, you're not stealing data. You're potentially breaking things in the physical world. The Siemens S7 series is ubiquitous. It's the backbone of industrial automation in dozens of countries.
What makes this qualitatively different is the AI piece. Writing ICS exploits historically required deep domain expertise. You needed to understand proprietary protocols, ladder logic, the specific firmware versions. That was a natural barrier to entry. AI lowers that barrier dramatically. You don't need a team of ICS specialists anymore. You need a capable LLM and a target list of internet-exposed PLCs, which, by the way, are trivially discoverable through Shodan and similar tools.
So the action items here are clear and urgent. If you have OT or ICS infrastructure, today is the day you audit your internet-exposed PLC inventory. Not next quarter, today. Review your segmentation controls between IT and OT networks. And if you're running Siemens S7 series controllers, make sure you're consuming the vendor's hardening guidance and the specific IOCs in this advisory.
I'd add one more thing. This should change how you model threat actors in your OT risk assessments. The assumption that ICS exploitation requires nation-state resources is no longer safe. AI has democratized that capability. Your threat model needs to account for mid-tier actors with AI tooling now, not just the top five APTs.
Perfectly said. Let's stay on the geopolitical thread because we have a cluster of nation-state stories today. The DOJ unsealed charges against 17 members of Iran's Mabna Institute.
17 defendants, 31 terabytes of stolen data, $3.4 billion in estimated value. This is a hacking-for-hire operation linked to the Iranian government that systematically pillaged U.S. universities, private companies, and federal agencies over multiple years. The primary target was intellectual property and research data.
For CISOs at research-intensive organizations, defense contractors, or anyone with significant academic partnerships, this is a direct threat profile. 31 terabytes is an enormous exfiltration volume. That doesn't happen with dwell time and access to bulk data repositories. The question every CISO in these sectors should be asking is, do we have adequate monitoring on our research data stores? Can we detect bulk exfiltration from our IP repositories?
And the university angle matters because universities are often the softest point in the supply chain. They collaborate with defense contractors, pharmaceutical companies, tech firms. They hold pre-publication research, grant proposals, proprietary data sets, and their security posture is, charitably, uneven. If you have partnerships with academic institutions that involve sensitive IP, your third-party risk program needs to account for that exposure explicitly.
Moving to the T-Mobile story, which is a fascinating case study in incident response decision-making. T-Mobile identified Chinese state-sponsored hackers, part of the Salt Typhoon campaign targeting U.S. carriers, and physically severed a cable to contain the intrusion.
I love this story because it cuts through all the incident response theory and gets to the fundamental question. When you're facing a nation-state actor with demonstrated persistence capabilities, what are you actually willing to do? T-Mobile chopped a cable. They caused an operational disruption to themselves to ensure containment. That's a decision that requires pre-authorization, board-level understanding, and frankly, organizational courage.
This is a playbook conversation for every CISO. Do you have pre-approved authorities to take extreme containment actions? Have you war-gamed scenarios where the right answer is self-imposed downtime? If the answer is no, you're going to waste critical hours during a real incident seeking authorization while a nation-state actor maintains access.
And credit to T-Mobile for catching it early enough. Early detection is what made physical containment viable rather than catastrophic. If they'd found this 6 months later, cutting a cable wouldn't have mattered.
Let's shift to Klopp, because they're back with another mass exploitation campaign, and the pattern is now unmistakable.
Klopp exploited a zero-day and PTC's Windchill and Flex PLM software, product lifecycle management tools used heavily in manufacturing, defense, and engineering supply chains. They likely compromised victims in June, sat on the access, and started sending extortion emails in July. This is the Move It playbook. It's the Go Anywhere playbook. Klopp finds a zero-day in enterprise file transfer or supply chain software, exploits it at scale, exfiltrates data, and then methodically extorts hundreds of victims.
For CISOs, the question is no longer whether Klopp will do this again, it's which software is next. If your organization uses PTC products, you need to assume compromise and investigate. Check the IOCs, review your logs from June forward, and engage your IR team. But more broadly, this reinforces the need for robust third-party software inventories. You cannot defend against supply chain exploitation if you don't know what's in your environment.
The long tail is the key phrase. CyberScoop's reporting suggests the victim list is still growing. We're going to be hearing about PTC-related breaches for months.
The FBI is also warning about Medusa ransomware, which has now hit over 500 critical infrastructure organizations. Jordan, what's notable here beyond the volume?
The evolution of their TTPs. Medusa operates as ransomware as a service, and the FBI is specifically calling out that they've significantly enhanced their techniques. This isn't the same Medusa from 18 months ago. They're harder to detect, harder to contain, and they're deliberately targeting critical infrastructure, which means regulatory consequences compound the operational impact.
If you're in a regulated sector and you haven't pressure tested your ransomware resilience recently, this is your signal. Recovery time objectives, backup integrity, detection coverage against the specific Medusa TTPs in the FBI's advisory, all of it needs to be validated, not assumed.
And let's not forget CareCloud. 3.7 million patient records stolen after an attacker spent 8 hours in their EHR environment.
8 hours. That's a relatively short dwell time, which means either they were highly efficient or they had pre-positioned access. Either way, nearly 4 million records makes this one of the largest healthcare breaches of the year. HIPAA notification obligations, HHS reporting, and the litigation exposure is going to be enormous. For any CISO relying on third-party EHR platforms, this is a reminder that your compliance obligations don't transfer with your data processing agreements. You own the risk to your patients.
Let's hit the vulnerability story quickly because it's actionable. CISA added 4 critical CVEs to the known exploited vulnerabilities catalog: Apple macOS, Microsoft SharePoint, VMware vCenter, and Microsoft IKE, all confirmed actively exploited in the wild.
The macOS flaw, CVE-2626-65400, carries a CVSS of 9.8, improper authentication. These are enterprise infrastructure staples. SharePoint, vCenter, macOS, they're in virtually every hybrid environment. Treat these as emergency patch priorities. Run asset exposure checks today across your estate and confirm your vulnerability management team is tracking KEV additions in near real time.
And briefly on the Latvia story, their road traffic agency was breached, exposing data on 1.2 million people, roughly 2/3 of the national population. Senior officials have resigned.
The accountability angle is what matters here. This is a government agency breach that triggered political consequences. Officials lost their jobs. For CISOs, this is the trajectory of breach accountability globally. It's moving beyond regulatory fines into personal and organizational consequences. If you're in public sector or government-adjacent work, the political dimension of a breach is now a first-order risk.
And the password spraying story rounds out the picture. Huntress observed a 155 times increase in password spraying attacks in the first half of 2026. One campaign generated 81 million login attempts in 2 weeks by targeting legacy authentication protocols and gaps in MFA coverage.
This is the authentication hygiene story that never dies. Legacy protocols that bypass MFA, service accounts without conditional access policies, federated login flows where MFA isn't enforced consistently. If you haven't completed your legacy authentication deprecation, this data gives you the ammunition for that board conversation. 81 million attempts in 2 weeks is a number that gets attention.
So, Alex, stepping back and looking at everything today, what's the theme?
The theme is that the cost of legacy assumptions is accelerating. The assumption that ICS exploitation requires nation-state resources, the assumption that your PLM software vendor isn't a Klopp target, the assumption that MFA covers all your login flows. Every one of these stories is about a gap between what organizations believe about their security posture and what's actually true.
And adversaries, whether they're AI-augmented, state-sponsored, or ransomware operators, are finding those gaps faster than defenders are closing them.
I'd frame it as convergence. AI is converging with ICS threats. Nation-state TTPs are converging with criminal ransomware operations. Physical and digital containment are converging in incident response. The silos that security programs were built around don't reflect how attacks actually work anymore. CISOs who are still organizing their teams and budgets around those silos are going to keep getting surprised.
Well said. What to watch next week? I'd say the PTC victim disclosures from the CLOP campaign. That list is going to grow, and if you're in manufacturing or defense supply chains, you want to get ahead of it.
And I'd watch for follow-on reporting from the AI ICS advisory. If federal agencies are publishing jointly, they have intelligence they're not sharing publicly yet. There's more to this story.
That's our show for Thursday, August 20th. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. I'm Alex Chen.
I'm Jordan Reeves. Stay sharp out there.